Hello and welcome. It's our number three, a great accompaniment to leftover turkey sandwiches. So hour three, Chicago rallies back to beat Detroit in the early television window on Thanksgiving, a Turkey Day classic. With the Bears winning, does Matt Nagy's outlook improve? Does it change now? Does Matt Nagy's outlook change? Also, the Lions biting on a pacifier yet again. We'll break that game down, spice it, toss it up in the air, and give you all you need to know. What you didn't know, you need to know right now in hour number three. Plus lame jokes. There's a bear over there. Welcome in. The beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we cruise in a Cadillac coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and mighty powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the store. The toy store, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the Northwoods. Hope all is well with you. We'll get back to the regularly scheduled portion of the broadcast, and we will open up the phone lines again. No calls last hour, but we'll try to get some calls in here later. We also have lame jokes of the week, and not as many lame jokes as normal, but there were a bunch of jokes. I was surprised. I was like, well, if nobody sends jokes in, I don't have to do it, but we have a big enough volume of joke writers that a number of you did send jokes in, so we'll read some of those coming up later in the hour and have some fun over the holiday weekend. So our lead this hour, though, comes from Motown, where the Detroit Lions, as the tradition continues, played the Thanksgiving Day lid lifter, played host to the Chicago Bears, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, who seemed genuinely enthused, unless they weren't, to call this game. I'm not sure if you got up and watched. If you're on the West Coast, you had to get up early to watch it. It was, you know, an afternoon game on the East Coast, but maybe you missed it. So Cairo Santos connect on a 28-yard game-ending field goal as the Chicago Bears held the ball for over 8 minutes on their final possession, drove down with a lot of help from the Lions, and they get the win 16-14 over the Lions, who remain winless on Thanksgiving Day. There, the Bears are 4-7. They snap a 5-game losing streak, and for the Lions, the hits continue here. The football malpractice. The Lions are 0-10-1. The winless skid goes back to the Matt Patricia era at 15 games since beating Chicago nearly a year ago. And from what I read, Detroit has one more chance to win a game, to not go a full calendar year without winning. So they better win. I think they play the Vikings next, so they better win that. All right, let us discuss. We're going to focus on the other side, Chicago here. Not that that's the better story, but I just can't dedicate all this time to the Lions. I hope you understand. So the question is, with the Bears winning and all of the buildup and all of the lead up in the Chicago media and the national football media about Matt Nagy and his future, does Matt Nagy's outlook change because of this win? And I am shaking my head no, is what I'm doing. So I've got Corn Maze, Ballet, and Interstellar. And we will lock all of these things together. Now, number one. You don't get a feather in your cap. You don't get a notch in your bedpost for beating the Lions. In a nutshell, this was a game where you, if you're Chicago, you had nothing to gain and everything to lose. Okay, the Lions are not the barometer of success. They are the measuring stick of sewage. If you want to see how high the sewage is in the sewer, you check the Lions' locker room. You get the temperature out of the Lions' locker room. Now, being kind, Chicago, I was not overly impressed in what I saw of the Chicago Bears. Needing a last-second field goal to squeeze out a win by the hair on your chinny-chin-chin does not seem all that impressive to me. That you needed an assist by Detroit to barely get around and come out of the game with a two-point win. Unable to live up to the point spread even for most of the week, Detroit and Chicago. That game was 3 or 2.5. If you're a gambling person, you know what I'm talking about. Andy Dalton was actually good by Andy Dalton standards. Good by Andy Dalton standards. Very low expectations. He had 300 yards passing. He averaged 8 yards per attempt, which is about all you're going to get out of Andy Dalton. And Chicago could only muster 16 points. The Lions play hard. I don't give them credit for that. You're supposed to play hard. It's your job. It's pro football. The results, though, the Lions are the 30th ranked scoring defense in the NFL, and Chicago scored 16 points. And they needed to go all the way to the end of the game for that to be the final point total. They had less than that, right? They had 13 points, if my computer-like mind is accurate, before that final drive. Now, only the Falcons and Jets have been worse. So no, Matt Nagy is not in a better spot in the eyes of the fan. In the eyes, not the media, the eyes of the fan. The Bears are still blindfolded. They're stuck in a cornfield, in one of those cornfield mazes, going blindly down random paths as they attempt to find their way out of the puzzle. So I still have Chicago in the boondoggle category. Benny's boondoggle. Now, secondly, there is now some spin coming out of the Windy City. I don't know if you saw this or not, but I rolled my eyes when I saw this. Okay, I rolled my eyes. So they've changed the narrative from the middle of this week up until kickoff in Detroit. The story was the Bears were preparing to fire Matt Nagy, that he was not going to make it past the weekend. Now the story has been shifted that that was an intentional story, that the state-sponsored NFL media, state-run NFL media, implying that that story was a plant used to galvanize the Chicago Bears players. Choo-choo! All aboard the crazy train! All aboard the crazy train! What a farcical story. Let's assume that is true for a moment here. Now, my thoughts on that, that is not only alarming, it is demoralizing. It is cartoonish. And I would never admit to that, even if the Bears actually did it. You can't admit to that. You turned this into some kind of psychological experiment to iron out the kinks. You needed that to get a win over the Lions? Hello? The Lions? You're using useful idiots in the media as smelling salts. So for the Chicago Bears, I hope that's not true, because if it is, my God, that's a trip to the ballet, the Bolshoi Ballet. Do a pirouette, knock yourself out. It's preposterous. It would be a dereliction of duties. Now, what are you going to do before you play the Packers or the Vikings? If you did this to get a win over the Lions, then what on God's green earth are you going to have a human sacrifice? Are you going to maybe just a chicken? You'll sacrifice a chicken. What are we doing? And the Bears are dancing. They're doing the limbo. How low can you go? And the Chicago fan, as an outsider, they seem genuinely excited. How many times did we see a high school football game? We saw it at a wrestling event in Chicago. We saw it at a Bulls game. Rhythmic chanting, fire, Nagy, over and over again. That was done out of enthusiasm. Enthusiasm that the Bears could bring somebody in who knows what they're doing. All right, final point. We will spend a couple of good minutes on the Lions. So if you can sum up the Detroit Lions in 3 words, sum up the Lions in not one, not two, but 3 words. I've got piecemeal, unsalvageable, and hopeless. And of course, piecemeal would be the roster of the Lions. Unsalvageable would be the reputation of every player and coach with the Lions. And the forecast is hopeless. And this is another Dan Campbell special. And I like Dan Campbell. As a gas bag, I am on the trail looking for good audio. Dan Campbell is a meathead coach who says interesting things. I pull for coaches that give me good audio. Remember the whole bite a kneecap off and all that? Well, so far as coach of the Lions, the only biting they've been doing is on a pacifier. They've been teething all season long. Detroit football team is a cosmic accident at this point, bouncing down a never-ending interstellar staircase right into a black hole. Lower and lower and lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. This is now the third time that the Motor City Kitties have lost on a walk-off field goal. Three times already. The Ravens got it on that 66-yard field goal. Vikings on that crazy fluke drive with Cousins setting it up with seconds to go. And now the Chicago Bears, who had an even more ridiculous drive when you think about it, that they turned the trick. The Lions, if you didn't see the game, Lions had a 14-13 lead over Chicago. They punted the ball back to the Bears. 8:30 to go in the game. Thinking, with 8 minutes and 30 seconds, you're like, oh, we're going to get multiple possessions. Ball's going to go back and forth. Well, no. Chicago, with Andy Dalton at quarterback, held the ball for 18 plays, going 64 yards, running out the game clock, and then kicking the game-winning field goal. And it, to make it even better, the Bears could not have done that without the generosity on Thanksgiving of the Lions. Chicago ended up picking up 5 first downs on the drive. They only had to convert twice. They picked up 5 first downs. They only had to pick up 2 third downs on that drive. The signature moment, though, the defining moment of this game on the field happened coming out of the 2-minute warning. The Lions called their first timeout before a third down defensive play. And then, to the amazement of every man, woman, and child watching the game, the Lions then called a second timeout. Now, if you don't know the rules, and I assume you probably do, you're not allowed to call back-to-back timeouts. Can't do it. It's a dead giveaway. You don't know what you're doing if you call back-to-back timeouts. It's taboo. It's not allowed. They did it. The Lions did it. They called back-to-back timeouts. Holy Chris Webber, Batman. That's old school. So anyway, Dan Campbell admitted after the game, he said he knew the rule that the Lions were not allowed to call back-to-back timeouts, but, and this is an amazing admission by Dan Campbell, and this also, I throw this into the hopeless category, the unsalvageable category, that we are in week 12 of the NFL season. The head coach of an NFL team, Dan Campbell, admitted the reason he called a phantom timeout, which was not allowed, is because he said half the Lion defense had one play and half the Lion defense had another play. So somehow, I thought they huddle up at these things, right? But somehow the 11 men on the field, I think it was, sometimes the Lions play 12, didn't all know the play. So in the huddle, how does that work? Is it like, okay, you whisper to these guys over here and you say, oh, here's this play. And then on the other side, at the other side of your mouth, you tell the guys over on the other side, all right, this is a play. And it's two totally different plays. It's like a vaudevillian comedy performance here. And the Lions were called for a defensive delay of game. Of course, they lost the timeout. And then it gets even better. After fixing the defense, getting everyone on the same page, Detroit, they played on a key third down. They played roughly 10 yards. The defensive secondary played roughly 10 yards on a third down and 4 play, 10 yards off the receivers, which meant even Andy Dalton, was a lock to make a completion there. It's the equivalent of in baseball when you play the defense up to try to take away the run at the plate and the batting average of the hitter goes through the roof. If it's 3rd and 4 and your defensive backs are playing 10 yards down the field, the math on that does not work out in your favor. It does not work out. And, of course, it did not work out in this situation for the Lions. The inevitable ended up happening. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. We'll take some calls, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. You can join the festivities. Straight ahead, your calls. We'll have lame jokes later in the hour. We'll have the Autumn Wind is a Raider. We'll get to that because the Raiders won. We promised the Maller Militia P1s. And nobody wants balls. Nobody wants balls. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We believe in the power of the people and the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Of course, take a few seconds to follow Big Ben, also known as the Grinch. He is on Twitter at Ben Maller, or our technical producer filling in for Roberto. It is our guy Crispy. He is on Twitter at Chris Perfett with two T's. Tell us what you like and what you don't like. Now more with Big Ben.
Always a good time when jumper cables are involved.
Yeah, always a good time. wonderful. The great, we've come up with a nickname here. He's Chris, the long suffering Lions fan, is his new name here on the show. Because you have a good radio last name, Perfett. Though it's people think
that's
perfect.
Right.
It's a good radio last name. But anyway, we began the hour yapping about the Bears and Lions. Anything you want to add to that as the resident Lion verified Lions reporter on Twitter, Chris?
Not really. No. I feel like there's going to be some heat on Dan Campbell after this one. He's taken over play calling now for three games. None of it's really been good, but yeah. The team doesn't have talent. They had two drives backed up by penalties to like third and 32. And then, yeah, the double timeout's kind of the icing on the cake.
That is the cherry. That is the cherry, Mona Lisa. Yeah. That's the Mona Lisa of the Lions.
It is the signature. It is the non-existent signature on the Mona Lisa of yeah. Destruction here.
So I had three words. I had piecemeal, unsalvageable, and hopeless. Those are my three words to sum up the Lions. I'm sticking to those three words. You're not going to change my mind, Chris. You're not going to do it.
That's fine. Okay. I will just say that I am glad people got to see Jack Fox punt. That's it. No, I feel like this kid in, like, what was it, San Diego State, he's getting a lot of love and everything, but Jack Fox is a guy who's, like, nailing 80-yard punts. He's cool.
Yeah, that sums up the Lions, right?
Yeah, he's the MVP of the Lions. He's a punter.
Detroit Lions. Well, if you're a punter, you want to play for the Lions because you're going to get a lot of work. You're going to get a lot of opportunities to be the guy. Anyway, all right, Ben Maller, let's go to the phones. We got legends lined up here. Cashing a golden ticket from Buffalo, the seven-toed drag queen, Phylexis. Hello, Phylexis. The nightmare fuel of Phylexis. Hello,
oh,
darling.
Chris.
How can we help you?
Oh, I'm so happy because all three of my picked one. I'm picking the Bengals and the Bears, too. So that's my five picks this week. I did four.
You're picking the Bears? Are they playing again on Sunday?
I said the Bengals and the Browns.
You said Bears. I heard you say
I
Bears.
I said Browns.
You said Bears.
Oh, same
said
people.
Bears.
Who cares?
Chris, Phylexis said Bears, yes?
Yes. Yeah, I heard Bears.
All right. Phylexis,
well, you know, Chris,
apologize right now, Phylexis.
Go to your room. Go to your room, Chris.
Maybe I'm in my room.
Listen,
you don't know.
I have to listen in case I got to dump this stuff. My ears are perked.
Did we have that Brian Finley drop, by the way? Did we get that? Have we tracked that down yet?
Which one?
You had a blooper in the update.
Oh, no, I haven't ripped that out yet.
Oh, okay. Let me know when we get that.
What was my blooper?
Well, Ben,
I can't say. I want to play it. I'll ruin the comedy. Yeah, what? What?
Well, it's my minute here. Is there any college football? Because my Kentucky Wildcats are doing awesome. And basketball, too.
Remember eight or 9 years ago, you swore you were moving to Lexington, Kentucky. You said you were leaving New York, and you were going to Kentucky. Why didn't you? You never did that. You lied to me.
I was going to take your show with me, but they told me they would throw me out of the state. So I came back to New York.
Yeah, we are banned.
They love you in New York.
Yeah, they like me in New York. They hate me in Kentucky, though. They can't stand my guts in Kentucky.
They love you in Buffalo because they can't hear you. They're not on.
Yeah. No, we are on in Buffalo. We're on a Sirius XM satellite radio, Bougie Radio. All over
no,
the greater
Lockport.
Buffalo area. What's that?
You're on Lockport, which is 20 miles from Buffalo.
Yeah, there you go. All right, thank you. I got to go, but it's not you.
I love you, man.
I love you. All right, bye-bye. Let's go to, let's see here, Beer Drinking Brian is next. Back-to-back legends. Hello, Beer Drinking Brian.
How do I follow that up, Ben? Holy.
You want back on hold? I can put you back on hold if you want.
No. I got out of turkey step. I mean, I didn't know if I'd make this long to be awake, but I just got something to say. I mean, to you, your family, your extended crew, and there's definitely the militia. I hope everybody had a safe and happy Thanksgiving. And
what did you do on Thanksgiving?
Oh, well, my brother didn't get to come into town, so it's kind of interesting. Me and the three dogs just sat around. We listened to old podcasts of the show. And, you know, it makes you realize, it makes you, you know, when you just kind of sit there and think and listen, how cool and how careful everybody is from the Mallor. I mean, you know, like when I had my sickness, or, well, still do, but, you know, and Half Pint has her issues, and I know plenty of other people out there in the militia have their, you know, issues. And everybody just seems to care a lot, and it's, you know, when you just sit there and you're alone and you got nothing to do but think, it really actually was probably one of the best Thanksgiving that I had in a while, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, that's a little scary. I mean, I'm very happy you were listening to the podcast of the show. Don't get me wrong here, but, I mean, come on now. By yourself listening to old radio podcasts? My goodness. What episodes were you listening to? Were you listening to the one where you and Half Pint were going back and forth and singing and dancing and all that?
Well, the first one I listened to was John Deere Track, and then I started making my way through. I got all the numbers written down for the ones that, like, she was all real goofy on, so.
Yeah. But well, that's pretty much every episode. That's the magic of you and Half Pint. That's why you were the most decorated couple callers on the show this last year. You dominated the Benny Awards. It's amazing.
47 days and she'll be back, Ben. You better watch it.
You better watch out. You better not shout.
Yeah.
Half Pint's coming to town. All right. Well, thank you, Beer Drinking Brian.
Well, ain't no other radio station in the country got us like we do with the militia. That's all I got to say. The hell with them.
Buddy. I appreciate
it. All right, guys. Take care, man.
God love you. Boy, that's both wonderful and very depressing at the same time. Jeez. Yikes. All right. Not much more to add to that. Let's go to, oh boy, here's a guy that only calls up when Oakley Dokley Doo's in here. MGM
Woo-hoo!
John. We have not heard from MGM John in some time from Lost Wages, Nevada. He has gone into hiding. Hello, MGM John.
Well, Ben, I haven't gone into hiding. I've just been working ever since. But pokey, 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 Mr. Ben Mallor.
How dare you? How dare you work? What's wrong with you?
It's just not my fault. The only thing I like to say is that with the Family Fanatics, it was a massive victory when we beat our rivals, the People's Team, the USC Trojans.
Yes.
The official worst team. I kicked 60 burger on them. It was a glorious night for them. It was like, whew. I love that.
Oh.
Is that all the content you have, MGM John? Are you out of content? Is that all you have?
No. The other content we have is that the UCLA Bruins is visiting the city of Las Vegas, Nevada to face my UNLV Running Rebels. I do not have the odds because it is that widening that there is no odds posted on that game, which I would assume it would be a 20-plus point favorites for the UCLA Bruins.
Yeah, well, UCLA, they were so impressive against the Zags. They should be 40-point favorites with the talent they have on that team. The execution, the great offense. I mean, that Bruin team, tremendous offensively this year.
Oh, tremendous. We only lost by 20. Thank God it wasn't 40. It was only 7 points.
If they had only played a little, if they hadn't taken the foot off the pedal there, the guys from Spokane would have won by even more. Now, you're a big suck up to Brian Finley over there, MGM John. So does that mean you had for Thanksgiving ground chicken with kale and a tub of almond butter?
Oh, lots of olive oil. That is the best flavoring. Oh,
lots of olive oil.
You put it on everything. It's like ketchup to me.
And I put garlic on everything. That's what I do. I love garlic. Even ice cream. I had ice cream garlic. I was at the Garlic Festival in Northern California. Love that. I got to go back. They still have that. I think they had that incident a couple of years ago. I wonder if that's still a thing. I love going there, though. Anyway, all right, I got to go. Thank you. I'm hanging up on you. I'm bored with you. All right. It's the Ben Maller Show. We've got lame jokes coming up in a couple minutes. Nobody wants balls. We've got the Autumn Wind is a Raider. Actually, a Pirate. But we'll get to that as well and more of these amazing calls. But right now, let's go over to Mr. Ground Chicken
yes.
and Kale himself, the Babbling Baboon. It's a pretty good nickname.
That is a great
That might
nickname.
Be my favorite nickname. Buckaroo's great because of how you earned it, but Babbling Baboon just rolls off the tongue.
It does. It's a nice wow. alliteration. It's Thank amazing you. What you do in your free time that nobody else does and thinks about these things, but that's just you well, being a little bit of...
Having no life.
Yeah, it's, being a nerd. Yeah. That's okay.
That's right. Exactly.
So, speaking of chicken, it looked like the Saints chickened out. Their team fell 31-16 in NFL games from Thursday and Thanksgiving. The Bills victorious here. Josh Allen, 4 touchdown tosses, and here he was after the game.
Every week is a one-game season that we got to look at it that way and find ways to win football games. It's the pursuit of perfection. We're not just happy with winning. Again, we want to be the best versions of ourselves. Every day we step into that building, every time we step on the field, we want to be the best teammate, the best player that we can possibly be, and you feel that amongst the guys. And again, it's a great feeling coming into work and having the guys that we have, you know, it's a blessing to be around these guys.
If that wasn't a cliche-ridden soundbite,
I was laying it on thick.
Yes.
Does that guy know that best means as good as all the rest in that category? So being the best means just being average.
Yeah.
So he's very happy at being average.
I think so. You know, he had
it's an interesting take.
He had 23 completions. I probably could have sensed 23 of some of the cliches that he said in just that 23-second soundbite. The Raiders got the victory against the Cowboys 36-33 in overtime. Dallas 166 penalty yards. And then the Bears, they feast on the Lions 16-14. Detroit, losers of 15 games in a row. They are still looking for that elusive win this season. In college football, number 9. Ole Miss outpaces Mississippi State 31-21. Lane Kiffin guiding the Rebs to a 10-win season for the first time, regular season that is, in program history. They've got an 11th game that they could win, Ben, wink, wink, coming up. And then in college basketball, number 6, Baylor dominates VCU 69-61. And Rick Pitino guides those Iona Ales out of New York over number 10, Alabama 72-68 as we bounce the basketball back to Big Ben.
All right, very good. Thank you for that. As we roll on.
Daddy.
Wow.
Is that your favorite soundbite of them all?
I have some thoughts on that soundbite. I don't think I should say them right now. I think that would be inappropriate for me to say them right now. I don't think I should do that. I think that would be a mistake of me to do that. This portion of the Ben Maller Show made possible by Discover Card. Exceptionally common sense brought to you by Discover. So nobody wants the balls. This is great. Let's go back to that Bears-Lions game. Ricky, let's have that queued up here. The bizarre coin toss. And they showed this during the broadcast. I was sleeping, but I saw the clip. I saw the second half of the Bears-Lions game. It's a pretty early start here on the West Coast for someone that does overnights. But I saw the clip, and I wanted to play it for you. It's outstanding. Listen, this is from the Fox broadcast. Listen to what happened on the pregame coin toss between the Bears and Lions.
The give and take on the opening coin toss of this game.
Detroit has won the toss and elected to defer. Chicago, you want the ball? You want the ball?
I want to defer.
They defer. You want the ball. You want the ball. Chicago will receive at this end. Good luck.
That is an all-timer. Christian Jones, he wanted to defer. He didn't care what had already happened.
No.
Now, hey, Adrian Hill, he's an aerospace software engineer.
Yeah, it cuts off, but... Both teams deferred having the ball. Neither team wanted the ball. They should have called the game a draw and said, that's it. It's a tie game. Nobody wants the ball. We're getting out of here. Go eat your turkey, everybody. That's it. Now, didn't the referee actually screw that up, right? The referee effed that up. The wording of the referee screwed that up. because the referee should not have said what he said in that summary. He should have said, which side do you want to defend, right? Shouldn't that have been what the referee did, like a good referee? I believe I'm correct on that. I'm going there. Hey, do we have the autumn wind? The autumn wind is a raider. Do we have that queued up, Chris? Can we play the Mallor version of the autumn wind?
All right, here we go.
All right, here we go.
The autumn wind is a pirate blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache.
That's pretty good, huh? Want me to keep going?
Yeah, go ahead, man. Right. Keep going.
He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you around and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won!
Yeah, there it is, the autumn wind. That I apparently smoked a carton of cigarettes before that and came in and did it, and there you go.
Yeah, that was after puberty, I guess, for you. Your voice had dropped.
Yeah. Can you let everyone know when things are going to drop down there for you as well? Can you let us know on that? Yeah. All right. Surly Scott writes and says, bah humbug to Fox Sports Radio executives. Uh-oh. Mandating Christmas music bumpers. Bad enough to have two local stations cramming it down my throat in the work truck before Thanksgiving, but now FSR joining the fray? Boo! Surliness abounds! Well, remember, Scott, if you were listening earlier, maybe you weren't, we are having an emergency call to arms for the music department and the Mallor Militia. We are desperately asking for Mallor-themed holiday songs, Christmas, Hanukkah songs, parody songs. I'm calling Mr. PC, J Scoop, Raz Quit the Band, Ohio Al, all the other talented musicians, our friend in Richmond, Virginia as well. You guys are great. You've sent in so many wonderful songs over the last couple of years, and we need help. Otherwise, we are going to have to play Christmas and Hanukkah holiday music between now and the end of the year. So we need your help. As quickly as you can come up with it. Of course, we will not pay you a damn thing, but we will play your song on 400 radio stations. So that's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. You don't get any money out of it, but you know how many people would like to be played on 400 radio stations? And boom, just like that, we can give you that. Anyway, all right, straight ahead for us, it's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. Actual jokes, actual one-liners, and that'll be for the rest of the hour. Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week, we get to that. We will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Mallor Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing good happens after midnight unless you listen to the Ben Mallor Show. Join the fastest growing club on Fox Sports Radio. Simply follow Ben on Twitter at Ben Mallor. Like the show at Ben Mallor Show on Facebook and Instagram at Ben Mallor on Fox. You can add your touch to weekly show bits like Ask Ben and Lame Jokes, which I think we have coming up here in just a couple of moments. Now let's get back to a man who is a regular patient of Doc Mike. That would be Ben Mallor.
I've been drinking my urine for 20 years.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Lame week.
Lame week who? It's Big Ben's Lame Joke of the Week.
All right, actual jokes from actual listeners, even on a Thanksgiving weekend. I couldn't believe it. I said, nobody's going to send jokes in this week. And we had some new people, some old people, a lot of jokes. Let's get right to them. These are actual jokes from actual listeners. These are truck drivers. What are we playing Christmas music? What is going on? We've got all the usual suspects. Here we go. What did Lizzo do? Brian, you're going to be my straight guy.
You got
right?
it.
That's going to be rare for you. Here we go. what did Lizzo do Thanksgiving morning?
What did Lizzo do Thanksgiving morning?
She spent it floating around the streets of New York. Said James. The machinist sent that one in. Did you see that the Madagascar hippo float veered off course today?
I did not see that.
Yeah, it was actually just Lizzo trying to cross the street, so it wasn't that big a deal. That's James, the machinist, again. Why is Detroit Piston Isaiah Stewart the M-Drive Player of the Week?
He's got a lot of testosterone?
No, because he refused to let age, meaning LeBron, beat him. That's pretty good. That's Chip in Maine tying in a sponsor with the joke. You can never go wrong when you tie in a Ben Maller Show sponsor, our friends at M-Drive, with a joke. What is the difference between LeBron and a 13-year-old diva princess brat?
What is the difference?
Nothing. That's George in San Antonio. Why does LeBron James like to ice skate?
Why does he like to ice skate?
It does not take any balls to do so. That's also from George. Adrian Peterson admitted that he may have lost a step, resulting in his release by the Titans.
Really?
Yeah, his agent told him, don't beat yourself up about it. That's what kids are for. Wow. God. Vicious. That's James, the machinist in Minnesota. A lot of jokes from James. This one's from Surfer Todd, the comedian. What do you call a baked potato cooked in a rotisserie oven?
A Maller special?
No. A rotator. What is a turkey's favorite Thanksgiving dessert?
What is a turkey's favorite Thanksgiving dessert?
Cherry gobbler.
Okay.
That's James the Machinist again in Minnesota. What do Canadians call Thanksgiving in the United States?
Christmas?
No, they call it Thursday is what they call it, friends in Canada. That's RJ in San Antonio. Why won't Joe Biden be running in 2024?
Why not?
Well, he can barely walk today. That's why. Come on. That's Surfer Todd the comedian. What do lawyers wear to work? This is from Jay in New York.
Nothing?
No, they wear law suits. Come on, that was a decent. That's a good dad joke.
Okay.
Chris didn't like it. All right, the jokes continue. It's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. Do you know why Coop DeLoop was not there to do the show on Thanksgiving morning?
He had to
moo.
Something about LeBron James, he had to go be there for him.
No, he was home baking.
Yes, of course. Yes. Clearly.
He bakes a lot.
He does.
Yes, he does. All right. Why does no one take Blind Scott seriously?
Why doesn't anybody take him seriously?
His initials are BS. Come on. That's Ink of Terror. What is the only stock more worthless than Packers stock?
Blind Scott stock?
Yes. You've heard that one before. Blind Scott. Any stock that Blind Scott recommends is worthless. Compare that. That's James the Machinist there in Minnesota. What is a lot of Blind Scott jokes. What is Blind Scott's favorite type of audition?
That I do not know. What would that be?
He likes the blind audition. That's what he likes there. That's what he looks for. No, come on.
I mean...
Quinn in Colorado Springs sent that one in. Did you know that Brian Finley dyes his hair? Did you know that? That Brian Finley dyes his hair?
Is that true?
Yeah, he's actually a towhead.
I think that one swung and missed.
Well, tell that to James the Machinist. Let's see here. This is from WS, whoever that is. Well, what do Aerosmith and Brian Finley have in common?
We both play a mad air guitar?
No, his girlfriend. Dude looks like a lady. Shots fired. What happens after Brian Finley roars with his girlfriend?
Afterwards?
Yeah.
We play chess and checkers in the family room.
That's wrong, actually. Actually, nothing happens because she's imaginary, so nothing happens. All right, that's James. I cleaned that on up, James. I added the punchline. What is Maller's favorite word during Thanksgiving?
Food.
No. Horns goggle. Or horns gobble. I screwed it up. Disposable horse napkin sent that one in. I'll try this one. Yes. Why did Whoopi Pie Blair take a turkey to the library?
Why did he take it to the library?
Well, he is an excellent master. He's a master baster.
Oh my God.
Really good at basting. I don't know. I don't know what that means. That's disposable horse napkins, one of the great nicknames of a joke writer of all time. What is Doc Mike's favorite Thanksgiving side dish?
Ben?
No. Oh, wow, Ben. Pea salad. He likes pea salad. That's James, the machinist again. Why was beer-drinking Brian happy when Isaiah Stewart and LeBron fought?
Because he had somebody to hang out with?
No, no. He loves a good brouhaha.
Oh, well done.
Key part of that, the brew. That's Eric in Kansas. What's Marcel in Brooklyn's food pick for Thanksgiving?
McDonald's?
No, no. Turkey-flavored oodles of noodles.
Okay.
That's a big meal at Marcel's house there, the projects in Brooklyn. That's from Eric in Kansas. Why does Chris in Houston's grocery store boss want him to work the day shift? The day shift. Chris in Houston.
Because he sleeps through the night shift.
Well, no, he wants him to put more cans on the shelf and less baloney on the airwaves of Fox Sports Radio. That's
yes.
That's from Free Long Shot, who sent that one in. These are Big Ben's lame jokes of the week, actual jokes. If you want to send one in a future episode, send them in whenever. Put jokes in the headline, but get them in before early in Thursday morning. Send them care of the Ben Maller Show at gmail.com. What's the first thing Blair is going to shop for on Black Friday?
Legos?
No, actually some boxing gloves next time he runs into Marcel.
So ooh.
That's Eric in Kansas. What's Spin Cycle Regina's favorite part of Thanksgiving?
I do not know. What would that be?
Well, she likes apparently the stuffing. She's a fan of there.
Jeez.
That's Eric. And I don't know where that came from. All right. Well, why did Angry Bill get upset on Thanksgiving?
Because he wasn't around your dog, Bella?
No, no, no. Everyone who knows Angry Bill knows that he was offended. He was served dark meat, and he only likes the white meat, so he was very troubled by that. The racist there, Angry Bill. All right, there it is. That's Eric in Kansas. Big Ben's lame jokes of the week on a holiday weekend. No days off. No days off.